Open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and we'll read verses 5 and 6 as we continually receive instruction and encouragement from this wonderful, inspiring letter. In Hebrews 11, in verse 5, we read, "By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death." What a blessing. "He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God." And how did he please God? "And without faith it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he is, that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Father, thank you for these encouraging words. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would quicken our hearts and minds, help us to be ready to receive the word. And we pray that you would inspire the preaching of the word, that our hearts may be encouraged and we may be empowered to walk in the Spirit. So we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. The writer of Hebrews has described faith in chapter 11 in the first few verses. He gave us the example of righteous Abel and how he was righteous through faith. Now he comes to another example, and that's Enoch, who pleased God, we read. And how did Enoch please God? How do we please God? Well, it tells us in verse 6, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God." Impossible to please Him without faith. You see, it's all through faith that we're able to live the Christian life. Through faith, Enoch believed in God. Through faith, he believed that God existed. Through faith, he believed that God rewarded, how God blessed. And that wasn't an easy thing to do. And that's why the writer of Hebrews chose Abel, who gave his life through faith, chose Enoch, who lived in very difficult times, even though it was early in the world's history, the world was quickly turning evil. And Enoch stood in his time for righteousness as well. And he did that by faith. Let's read a little bit about Enoch's context and age in which he lived in the book of Jude. How many have read or ever heard of Enoch in the book of Jude? Well, the writer of Jude is also encouraging the Christians of that time, just before the first century or in the first century, to persevere. See, it's always been an issue. Will the people of God stand or will they fold? It was an issue with the Hebrews under tremendous pressure. Would they walk with God? Would they go in the proper way of faith? Or would they quit and give up? Now we go to the book of Jude. It's only one chapter. In verse 14, we read this about Enoch. "Enoch, the seventh from Adam, the seventh generation, prophesied." He spoke out about these men. Which men? Men mentioned in verse 13, who were full of darkness. "And he said this, 'See, the Lord is coming.'" Wow. Even back then. "See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of His holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against Him." So that was a very evil time. And Enoch stood up by faith. "And these men are grumblers," and he says, "they are fault finders," etc., etc. He begins to list it. And then, verse 17, He says, but dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times, there will be scoffers who follow their own ways. Now, we are saying the last time, and we're reading today in the book of Hebrews in the first century, there were scoffers. And many of them were tempted to go in a different direction, to fall away. And so was it and is it in our day. Now, watch this. Verse 20, an encouragement to persevere. But you, dear friends, build up yourselves in your most holy faith. Notice it's about faith. And pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. This is all in the context of Enoch, thousands and thousands of years ago, early in Earth's history. There was that challenge. It will always be that way. There will always be difficulty and pressure and attacks to make you want to turn away. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, David said, but the Lord delivers. And it is by faith we stand. We read, and I won't turn there, to Genesis 5:24, that Enoch walked with God. And it says, and then he was no more, for God took him. He walked on with God, on into eternity, on into heaven, as an example, and one who prefigured Jesus delivering all the faithful into heaven, into eternal life. So we see two things about Enoch. We saw that he believed, that he had faith. And we see that he walked with God. And therefore my message, so that we might be encouraged, that we might persevere, walk with God by faith. It is a walk. It's not just a talk. Walk with God by faith, no matter how difficult things may be. No matter the challenges, walk with God by faith. You see, faith walks. It just doesn't talk. Faith walks. It walks with God. It talks with God. It lives with God. Walk with God by faith into heaven. It won't be just like Enoch, because he did not see death. But it will be a reality. It will be a promise that God has made fulfilled. Walk by faith. You know, as I mentioned, the whole context of the book of Hebrews is about Christians who were discouraged, who wanted to turn away, who wanted to go back. Listen, there will always be storms. But it is our faith and our walk with God that will get us through. There was an old song that I liked, and it's a secular song, but I want you to listen to the words. And the name of the song is You'll Never Walk Alone. How many of you remember that song? Let me read you some words. Even if it was secular, it was true. And all truth is God's truth. It says, when you walk through a storm, hold your head up high. And don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind. Why? Because God's with you, walking with God. Walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on with hope in your heart. God's promises gives us hope. Our faith in God gives us hope. And you will never walk alone. Why? Because God is with us. You will never walk alone. Walk on with hope in your heart. And you'll never walk alone. You'll never, ever walk alone. Why? Because God is with us. And I have to believe that that song was based upon one's faith in God. Walk with God. For He has made us promises. Promises to always be with us. Let me read you something of a promise that Jesus made. After his resurrection, in Matthew 28 and verse 18, he said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And surely I am with you. I am with you always to the very end of the age." To the very end of the age, God is with us. We live maybe at the end of the age. Perhaps Enoch thought he lived at the end of age in the evil world he lived in, because he talked about he's coming with 10,000s of angels. That is true. But walk with God. Why? Because all authority and power is with Jesus. And he says, "Verily," or "truly, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." You're not alone. And something very inspiring to me that Jesus said in John 15. See, I'm basing our faith on the promises of God. And we have learned that faith is the assurance, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In John 14 and verse 18. John 14 and verse 18. Look at what Jesus said. And I believe what he said is true. I don't only believe it by the power of God through faith, we walk it. John 15, as he was about to be sacrificed and about to go to his Father, look at the encouraging promise. He said, "I will not leave you as orphans." You know, often feels that he has no family. God will not leave us as orphans, not leave us alone. "I will come to you. I will come to you," he said. Walk with God through faith. "I will come to you." It says, "Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me." Well, wait a minute. I know he's with me, but I don't see him. But I see him through faith. You know that? I believe that he's with me. I experience him. And it gives me confidence. I don't fear anything. You see, when you know that God is with you, when you trust him, you don't fear. See, fear and faith are opposites. Fear is having faith in the disaster, in the problem, in the devil, or whatever may come against you. It is a form of faith. But true faith is fear of God. And God is greater than any problems we face. He's greater than any enemy. And we have peace when we put our faith in God, and therefore we fear nothing. He says, "Because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am you." How can God be any closer to us and with us than in us? Than in us. We're not alone. No matter what your feelings, no matter what your circumstances may be telling you, you are not alone, and you can walk with God. And you can hold your head up high. And you don't have to be afraid, as the song says, of the storm. You'll never walk alone. Now notice this in verse, I'm just showing you the promises of God, that we put our faith in God, and while we're not alone. Notice verse 23. "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Notice we, not just the Holy Spirit, but Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus says, "We will come and make our home with you." It's not just that God... it's with us. But Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are with us. Think about that. And he says, "And we will make our home." Like they're at home. Like they're welcome. Like they're so close. And through faith, we experience that. You see, you say, well, isn't Jesus and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, aren't they in heaven? Yes. But see, I don't, and I don't know if this is true, but I don't look at heaven as being 10 trillion light years away. My speculation, and this is pure speculation, that is simply another dimension. You say, well, didn't Jesus ascend into heaven in a cloud of glory? Yeah. But most theologians believe that that cloud was the Shekinah cloud of glory that was in the temple. It wasn't like, well, there he goes into the clouds. And that may have been true too. But it was a sign and a type of his glory. Now, either he dwells with us or not. Either you believe that the Holy Trinity is with us or not. And if you believe that, then you will have a boldness and a conviction under persecution, as even the writer of Hebrews was trying to convey to them by the example of Enoch that we've seen, lived in an evil time. And he spoke with boldness and said, the Lord is coming with 10,000s of his holy ones. These are promises that God has made to us. And even in the book of Hebrews itself, I won't take the time to turn there, but in chapter 13, verse 5, he said, and he promised, I will never leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. We preached on that, haven't we? I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? He's drawn us to himself. God wants to be with us. As he was with Adam and Eve, and he walked with them, and he talked with them, he does the same thing with us today. He walks with us. But we, sometimes our minds are on the trivia and the life that we live and our jobs and our schoolwork and our problems. And we forget that he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, you should not be afraid. You should have the boldness that Enoch had because you believe that God is real. He's drawn himself to us by covenant as well. That's why I believe. He's made a covenant. And the goal of his covenant, that he dwell with us and that we be his people and he be our God and that he loves us. He's made an everlasting covenant of love with us. We said we're called, right? Jesus said in John 64, no man can come to me, John 6, 44, unless the Father draws us. Draws us to what? Out here by ourselves? No, draws us to Jesus. Draws us to himself. We are not alone. He walks with us because he loves us, because he wants to be with us. Can you imagine? God wants to be with us more than we want to be with him. Why? Because our minds are somewhere else. But he's there. And the experience of him is only one thought and one act of faith away. We walk with God by faith, like Enoch. Enoch did not see death. He was taken away. Verse 5 tells us, Hebrews chapter 11. Chapter 11. And verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. What a wonderful thing. Again, this prefigured Jesus coming and delivering us from death through his resurrection. That Enoch walked with God. He experienced God. He trusted God so much that he did not experience death. Now, God's not going to do that for all of us. With some of us, we may be alive. My wife and I were talking about that last night, how we forget that Jesus could come at any time. There doesn't need to be a temple built. There doesn't need to be animal sacrifice. Well, all that stuff. He could come now. And I say, come, Lord Jesus, come. But Enoch just walked on into glory. We too have been given life eternal now. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, life more abundantly. He said in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. No, never. He says, do you believe that? But even though our physical bodies will die unless Jesus comes back before, and even there we're going to get a new one, we're to walk on into glory. Right? He tasted death for us. And that walk ought to be so blessed, so wonderful, by faith experiencing God and His glory, as the Latin says, coram Deo, living in the presence of God, that we just go from glory to glory. If this life ought to be so glorious and so wonderful by faith, that when we take our last breath, we just walk into that other dimension. That's the promise of God. Jesus said, I am that resurrection and I am that life. He was taken away. All right? What a wonderful blessing. God had taken him away. For before he was taken away, he was commended as one who pleased God through faith. You see, faith walks. Didn't just talk. Faith walks. It walks with God. And through the walk with God, we're empowered to walk like God. Amos tells us that two cannot walk together lest they be agreed. We walk with God because we're thinking His thoughts. Our worldview is coming through the Scriptures and the mind of God. And we're walking with Him. We're walking according to His Word, according to His ways, principles of God. It is the hand of faith by which we receive. Notice verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists. Not just, oh yes, by knowledge, or whatever, you know, I can look at nature and blah, blah, the different laws and so forth, and I believe that God exists. I mean, there are astrophysicists who believe that God exists. Not just talking about that. It is talking about believing that He exists, believing that He is there for you and for me. Not talking just about an intellectual level of faith, but an active, living, relational faith. Because we're walking with somebody. We're walking, we're living with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we believe that He is there for us. Right? Not just He exists. That we can trust Him. That we can depend upon Him. That we can talk to Him. When it says He walked with God, that means He talked with God. He communed with God. He had a love relationship with God. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, I know He exists, but there's no relationship there. It makes no difference in your life. God exists with us in a special way. God is with everybody in this world. Do you realize that? Even the wicked, God is with. Jesus said that God makes it rain on the just and the unjust. There is what theologians call a common grace where God is sustaining everyone by the power of His Word, that He is providing for everyone. He really is. But with His beloved, with you, with me, there's a special grace. There's a covenant of love, of mercy and tenderness. We have the benediction that we commonly use in Numbers 6. The Lord bless you the Lord make his face to shine upon you. That's that special grace. That's what we have. That's the relationship we have. And that, those blessings, it says that he exists, that he is, we have this love relationship, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That reward comes all through Christ. That's the blessing. That's the benediction. Somebody means blessing. He's not rewarding you because you did X, Y, Z. It's because he has that covenant love that he automatically blesses his children through Jesus Christ. And notice it says in verse 6, earnestly seek him. Do we earnestly seek him? Or is this a passing thing? With all of our hearts, do we cry out to him, Abba, Father, Daddy, help us. I need you. And he's more willing to help us than we are to ask sometime. Notice, seek him, not just his gift. But we know from him all blessings flow. James said, from the Father of heavenly lights comes every good and perfect gift. But we love him. Do we really love God? I believe Enoch loved God with all of his mind and all of his heart and all of his soul and being. With his all in all. And I believe that's how God wants us to love him. Because he has loved us that way, right? God loves us with all of his heart. Isn't that interesting? With all of his soul and all of his being, because he proved it in giving us Jesus, his only begotten son. And actually put our comfort, our salvation ahead of the comfort of his son to come and suffer and die. And to be raised again. Let's walk with God by faith. He is with you and he loves you. And by embracing him as a person in an intimate, loving relationship and worshiping him, and let that be on every level, not just intellectual, but emotional, with all of our heart, soul, and being, we serve a risen Savior who's alive. We just celebrated the resurrection. It's personal. This walking with God is personal. In John 20, my wife was telling me in her personal study how personal, how very, very personal God was to Mary Magdalene. Remember how she went to the garden? And she was looking for her Savior. And she was distraught. And she looked into the tomb and she saw the angels. And they asked her, who are you looking for? She's looking for my Lord. Where have they taken him? He said, he's risen. And then the Lord appeared. And she thought he was a gardener. Until he said, Mary. Called her name. This is Dennis, Isaiah, Katrina. He knows your name. Because it's personal with him. And then she said, my Lord. See, he walks with us and he talks with us. You've heard that song, haven't you? I come to the garden alone. That song, the history of it, is based upon John 20. And the writer of that song was trying to capture the emotion and the tenderness and the intimacy that Mary had. Let me read you the words of that song. It's, I come to the garden alone. And she did. While the dew is still on the roses, because it was that early Sunday morning. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And she said, he walks with me and he talks with me. Walk with God by faith. And he tells me, I am his own. It's personal. And the joy, oh, the joy we share as we tarry there. None other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet. The birds hush their singing. In other words, I can't hear anything else but his voice. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, no other has ever known. She said, I stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling. But he bids me go. Go tell them I'm alive. Though the voice of woe, his voice to me is calling. She didn't want to leave him. We should never leave him. We should hear his voice through his word, through the Bible. We should enjoy his presence, even as David said in Psalm 16. In your presence there is fullness of joy and pleasure forevermore. Walk with God by faith. Talk to him in prayer. Cast your burdens on him. Tell him he's there. He says, come to me. I'm right here. Just turn. And cast your eyes upon Jesus. Set your mind on him and the Father and the Holy Spirit are things above. Be intentional with that. And look to him. Depend on him. He says, you see, I am the vine. You're the branches. Abide in me and I abide in you. Depend on him. Pray always. And praise and thank him for all things. Do everything you do by his power and his grace. And in everything you do, do it unto him for his glory as you walk with him, as you talk with him by faith. Faith walks. Walk with God by faith. Amen? Thank you so much, Father, that you and Jesus and the Holy Spirit have made your home with us. Thank you that you call us tenderly and lovingly. Thank you, Jesus, that we can cast all of our burdens on you. There's nothing too hard for you. Thank you that you've made a way for us to just walk on into heaven and never die. Just like Enoch, in a way. But yet we recognize the uniqueness of him. But he was only a type of what you would do for us. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the gift of faith to trust you. And open the eyes of our hearts that we may see you. That you're there. That you're not far away. That you're near. And that you carry us in your loving arms. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.